You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Welcome to the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie, and today I want you to keep something in mind. And what I want to keep in mind is movement. And to talk about mindful movement is an NASM master instructor and educator. She is a friend that I've known for several years, and we work at NASM together. Her name is Mallory Fox. Dr. Fox, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me, Rick, and NASM. I am located in Scottsdale, Arizona, where it's currently a million degrees outside. Yes. Very happy to be indoors doing this podcast. And my background is as a competitive swimmer, so fitness has been a part of my life. Movement has been a part of my life since my earliest memories. And I'm really excited to also share mindfulness, which is a tool that's helped me manage stress and recover from injury and feel much better doing it. So it's really close to my heart and happy to be here and talk about it today.
Excellent. Thank you. And yeah, you do have your doctorate. Is that correct?
I do. A doctorate in health sciences.
Oh, me too. Okay.
Yeah.
Join the club, the health science club.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Well, good. I'm glad that you're on the show today, and I'm glad you're talking about this. And there are a few things I just want to clear up. The first thing, and I know you've done research on this, and I'm going to need you to back it up, because the first thing that many people think of is when you say mindfulness, what are you talking about? And it sounds a little bit, I don't know, a little frou-frou, a little spacey, that can't possibly be for me. Can you speak to what that means for so many people that hear this and think that it is a nice thing that people do for themselves, but it's not a real thing?
I love that you said that, because just a few years ago, that's how I felt. I knew that it was good for me to do. I thought it was more of a luxury, or that my brain just wasn't wired to be calm and relaxed and mindful. So first, the way that we define mindfulness is the practice of being aware of what's happening in the present moment without judgment, which is extremely hard to do. That goes against what our brains as humans and as movement professionals are wired to do. We're constantly thinking, you know, when I'm working with a client, I'm thinking about what's next, and I'm assessing, and I'm getting stuck in all of the details. And so mindfulness is training the brain to kind of dial it back a moment and to just focus on what's happening right now. There is loads of research that has shown how mindfulness-based stress reduction can cause positive health outcomes. Last night, I was just updating my latest research and found about 6 studies that were published just this year about how to use mindfulness to decrease stress and improve work outcomes, how to decrease stress through a mindfulness-based stress reduction program and increase productivity, and most importantly, how to improve health outcomes through mindfulness. So got a lot of links to share with you if you're interested. And
I am interested. And so now you're getting my wheels spinning, and I'm curious. So there are a couple things that I want to talk about. One is mindfulness and productivity, which you mentioned, and how that can help productivity. But before we even get to that, you've mentioned it twice, that there is a link between mindfulness and health, right? So there's a correlation between your well-being overall and your health, and the reduction with mindfulness helping to reduce some potential chronic pathologies. What is that? What does this mean when we're talking about health?
Great question. So the study that I was citing from, I believe it was the University of Cambridge, was published this year. And they studied health professionals during COVID and how a mindfulness-based stress reduction program helps them to, you know, what we're seeing with COVID in health professionals is incredibly stressful. I have a few clients who are doctors who are working with COVID patients. Mm-hmm. And so the inability to leave work at work, you know, taking it home with them, the lifestyle changes that they have to have, you know, working 14, 16 hours a day, not being able to see their families. Those are all stressors that can cause anxiety, they can cause depression, they can cause lots of mental health concerns. And we know that stress long-term can lead to weight gain and changes, you know, other changes in the body. And so this mindfulness-based stress reduction is, you know, just a few moments a day and helping people to develop better coping skills.
Okay. So I have an app on my Apple Watch that reminds me to breathe, and which is interesting because I do it without thinking about it. So I already breathe. I do that. Yes. What is it about maybe an app on my phone that is cueing me to inhale for this long and exhale for this long over the course of 1 minute, and I can up it to 5 minutes if I want to. But what is the difference between just breathing and mindfully breathing?
Yeah, great question. So just breathing, we breathe to survive, right? And have you ever had a time where your watch has gone off and told you to breathe and you've been stressed out?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. And like the thought that you have when it tells you to stop and breathe, I know for me, it's like, I don't have time to do that right now.
Yes.
I need to get this thing
exactly
done in front of me. Like, how could you know? Like, I need to be productive. I need to do something. And so what pausing and stepping back, what happens in the body physiologically, so if we go all the way back to caveman days,
okay,
Stress is the endocrine response that helps me to run away from the bear that's trying to eat me. In our 2020 life, stress is that long-term trying to survive, trying to get through COVID, trying to pivot our businesses, trying to wear masks and practice these new habits every time
we're dealing with landlords.
all of that. It's that constant stress. There's no escape from it.
Yep.
There's no end to it. And what happens is our brains get used to that being our state. And as you know, when we are, our bodies, our brains can adapt to anything. So when we've adapted to dealing with these high amounts of stress, that takes its toll on the entire body. What mindfulness, what a minute of mindful breathing can do is help take us from a fight, flight, or freeze response. And for many of us, like for me, it's, you know, fight. Like, no, I'm going to get through. I'm going to do my entire to-do list. And then I'll rest. Then I'll breathe. And freeze is when, you know, someone gets stuck, essentially. If you've ever been in a meeting or a test and you need to come up with the answer and the mind is just blank, that's the freeze response.
I do breathe a lot when my apartment's really messy and I walk in and I go, I don't even know where to start. You know what? I think I'll make a coffee.
That's perfect. Yeah. And that could also, that might also be flight. Like, hey, this is too much. I'm out.
That's true too. Sometimes I just turn around and leave the apartment. Sometimes I just walk out. Yeah,
exactly. So that's actually your sympathetic nervous system.
Okay.
And it is designed to keep you alive, to keep you surviving. What happens with a minute of mindful breathing is we can switch into the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's where rest and digest happens. That's where we're able to recover. And so if you get into a practice of when you're super stressed out, when you have a million things to do, and your Apple Watch says, breathe. Mm-hmm. Mindfulness means that you're allowed to notice that you're frustrated with it. You're allowed to notice that you don't have time to deal with it. But you could take, you can make a choice to take that minute and just focus on what's happening in your body and what's happening in that present moment. And so that's what a mindfulness-based stress reduction, that's a piece of it. And that can help to slow things down, focus on the present moment. And we could even do it right now if you want.
What would it entail?
So I could lead us through 1 minute of breathing. And okay. I would use the five senses to help you and I and everyone watching get really grounded and really present in right now. Because let's face it, we've all got probably a million things going on today. I know right before I popped into this meeting, I had phone call, emails, 6 alerts, Amazon delivered stuff, house is going crazy. We all have stuff, right? And all of that stuff, if you think of like a computer program, it's making your hard drive work slower. All of that stuff, all of those windows open, that's how our brains are. If we've got 30,000 things going on, we're going to be less present for this conversation. So even though we're trying to do all the things, we're at best just surviving it all and not necessarily being able to fully experience it.
Okay. All right.
So you want to try it? Do a little test?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. So wherever you are, if you're watching.
Wait, hold on. Let me also point out real quick. For those of you who are about to turn off the podcast because you think this is BS, do not turn it off. All right. Stick with it. It is 1 minute of your life. Okay. Stick with it and maybe, just maybe, see something from the other side and change your perspective on this that will allow you to slow down in order to be more productive.
Love it. Thank you for saying that. And for anyone who's listening and is still a little skeptical, I promise it's not voodoo. Okay. And this is an exercise that I do with the military special forces. So you're in great company. Yeah.
All right. Let's
okay,
go.
Perfect. So wherever you are, I'm going to have you just take a comfortable position. So if you're seated, sitting up really tall, making contact with the seat beneath you, if you're lying down, just allowing yourself to stretch out a bit. You can let your eyes gently close or you can keep them open. And if you keep them open, just stay focused on a spot that's not moving. Please don't do this while you're driving. And we're just gonna simply notice the breath. So how are you naturally breathing right now? And we're not going to judge that, you know, a breath should be long or short or last a certain amount of time. Just simply, how are you breathing? And then next, where in your body are you breathing? Do you feel any movement in your chest, through your thoracic spine, in your belly? Or is your body pretty rigid while you're breathing? And next, what sounds do you hear in the space that you're in? So you'll hear the sound of my voice. You might hear the sound of your breathing. You might hear kids, dogs, traffic. And take your attention to a scent. What do you smell right now? And finally, what do you taste? And if you're like me, you'll have all kinds of thoughts that pop up as you're asking yourself these questions. What do I taste? Oh, maybe I should switch out my toothpaste. And that's okay. That means you're human. So allow yourself to just notice. And there's no need to take an action. We're going to take three more deep breaths. And on these inhales, I'm going to invite you to focus on expanding the rib cage like a balloon, front, back, side to side, up and down. And exhale. And then again, trying to blow up your balloon even larger. Big exhale out. And then one last time, no one's listening to you. Breathe in. And then as you exhale, allowing everything to just release, like I've popped your balloon. Then when you're ready, just blink open your eyes and take just a second to notice how you feel in your body right now. So we often, you know, we'll hear our alarm clock go off, bolt out of bed, chug down some coffee, and run right into our day, our week, our year. And what a mindful moment does, it gives us an opportunity to just put it on pause, and then we can go right back to what we were doing. So like right now, we took a minute to breathe, and now, you know, Rick and I are able to continue this conversation. And I'm so curious, Rick, how was that experience for you?
It was good. I liked it. I would love to be guided through something like that, as opposed to, you know, my watch vibrating or me being in charge of my own meditation, you know, like a guided meditation like that to me is, I don't know. I think it's more valuable, and maybe it's because I don't meditate. Maybe it's because, when I do it, I'm waiting for it to be over. And when you were doing it, I was like, oh, cool. Like I like having a trainer. You know what I mean? Like I like somebody being with me and talking me through it. And it's not something I'm familiar with. So I don't trust myself to do it well. And in that experience, I was totally in. If you were to keep going, in my mind, I was like, I know she said a minute, but you know, if she wanted to keep going, I'm totally cool. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for sharing all of that, because I find it so relatable. I used to look at yoga teachers or, you know, meditation teachers and think, well, that's great that they do it, but yes, I'm not good at that. I'm not going to be able to do that ever. Like my brain will never be able to stop in that way. Like I was the girl who after a yoga class was lying down in Shavasana at the end where you take the little nap. And I would be thinking like, oh my gosh, this is a waste of time. I have so much to do. I should just get up and roll up my mat and leave, because these 5 minutes that I'm, you know, trying to do what, you know, the teacher says, where I just can't get my mind to stop, like I could be doing things. And
I feel that way all the time.
All the time, right? All the time. Yeah. And what happened for me is I had a life-altering event that forced me to shut down, forced me to slow down. Yeah, I was in shortly after I met you, actually, I was in a car accident and I ended up having a traumatic brain injury. And through the course of my recovery, found out that my brain had shut my left eye off. And I was 32 years old, became legally blind in my left eye. And found that visual disturbances after a concussion are really, really common. So it was a crazy journey. So I went from running a million miles an hour to, Rick, literally having to just lie down on my couch at home. Like I couldn't open my eyes without having severe nausea, disorientation. The world was constantly moving. It felt like I was on the teacups ride at Disneyland, which I love. I love the teacups ride, but there's an end to it.
Yes.
When I was living my life and every time I opened my eyes or moved my head, suddenly my whole world flipped. You know, that wasn't okay. So mindfulness was the only thing that I could do that actually brought any relief to how my body felt. it wasn't that it changed what was happening in my body. It changed my response to what was happening. Because, you know, as a 32-year-old who suddenly can't drive, suddenly can't work out, can't really, I couldn't take care of myself. I fell, I had all of these crazy things going on. I was freaking out because it was like, this is not okay. I need to fix this. Mm-hmm. All I could do, I was doing physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, everything I could to fix it.
Right.
The only thing that I really had control over was how I responded to it. And so that's how I learned. Yeah.
Do you think that the experience like what you had that forced you to slow down and then see life in a different way? I want to give an example like Shark Week. They have this guy on there. I was just listening to him on the podcast, The Fighter and the Kid, and he had one of his arms bitten off and one of his legs bitten off by a shark. There are people who have lost arms in hiking accidents and people who have gone through these traumatic things. And they're speakers on a circuit. I remember having a guy at the Optima conference last year, the year before, who was in the military and had the same thing, like his life after the military and after injury, it was in ruins. Mm-hmm. And then it's this perspective shift. Mm-hmm. And I think that what happened with you and what happens with many other people who go through something traumatic is that instead of constantly go, 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 and realizing that you're on the treadmill and maybe you're not really getting anywhere, that you learn to appreciate things a little bit more and that you slow it down and you're more, in fact, mindful about everything, about your relationship with people, about your relationship with family and work and life and food and wellness and finances and all of these things, you're able to just create perspective. But when things are par for the course, then we're still on the treadmill and we don't realize that the wheels are spinning, but we're not really going anywhere. Or we don't also realize that if we stop and pause and shift and create perspective, that maybe we can slow down to go forward faster and better and more effectively and more efficiently. Do you think that there's some type of correlation there between mindfulness and the traumas that people experience? And how a better life many times, being a paraplegic, but being happier where they are than even where they were before?
You know, that's such a what you shared is just so beautiful. And I think that what you're hitting on right now is resilience. And I absolutely think that in any trauma, there is an opportunity for resilience.
Okay.
And even with, so COVID-19, for example, we're all living that. So we can all relate to that. That's a type of trauma. Like you mentioned, we've got bills. In Arizona where I live, our gyms are still closed. So there's all kinds of stress and trauma. And so this, you know, can be a point where collectively we all take an opportunity to look down deep and figure out, like you said, relationships, priorities, getting really clear on what we want to be a yes for and the path that we want to go. It can definitely strengthen our resolve. And it can also kind of create grief because there are losses that we're missing out on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so mindfulness really helped me in coping with the losses. It might help, you know, people who are at home right now and unsure of when they're going to be able to work with clients again. It might help cope through these difficulties. I'm not sure if I completely answered your question, but I wanted to make sure that we chatted about that because I used to do things, and when I was running on the treadmill, like you mentioned, not getting anywhere, I would do things because I thought that it was the right thing to do. So, I was asked to teach this class. Okay, that must be the right thing for me to do. and get all these opportunities and all of these things. And I would just do them automatically because I was running on the treadmill. And what I've gotten to really get comfortable with and practice is figuring out if an opportunity is something that really resonates with my passion and with what I want to do with my life and be in this world. And if it's not, then I say no. And it's just like strengthening a muscle. It's that muscle of, hey, is this something that I'm passionate about, that I really want to do? That's mindfulness has definitely helped me.
Yeah. I used to have a spiritual advisor who told me a lot of people pray for doors to open, but sometimes you need to pray for doors to close. And really that's about the opportunities that pop up and we say yes, and we agree and we go and we go and we go. Do we get anywhere from going? And there are a lot of people in my position, I'm sure in a position like yours as well, where people just want a piece of you, right? They just want to ask a question. They just want to know. And I put myself out there to do that. I do that on the podcast and say, reach out to me. But there are times where I do the best I can, but I can't answer everybody. I can't connect with everybody. I try, but that's challenging because within doing that, I'm also dealing with COVID and I'm dealing with the business and the landlords and the finances and my family. And are they going to school? Or are they not going to school? And, you know, so the challenges are there and I have to limit. So I'll put certain days where it's like today is the day where I will try to respond to everybody in my social media feed. Right. Or every single email that's not an immediate business email, that today is my day. Or there might be a couple days a week that I spend and those are my days that I reach out. So if I don't get back to you in 2, 3, 4 days, sometimes it's just because I haven't gotten that far along yet, because I have to put my own barriers up. I have to say, this is where I need to pause and I need to take care of me and everything else. But what I don't do still is exactly what we're talking about today. And I have no doubt it's beneficial. As a matter of fact, when I was going through my doctorate of health science program, I had a guy named Gaman Hung who did his dissertation on mindfulness. And I watched him present in front of the faculty and defend his dissertation. And it was amazing. And I was like, I should really do that. I should do that. That was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, three. So at this point, I know it's those things that I know what I need to do to some degree, but I also still feel that I need to keep pushing and driving and moving forward. And so one of the things that we say a lot is that feelings are not facts. And just because you feel like you need to keep pushing does not mean that is what you need to do. Sometimes it is exactly the opposite of that. So I don't know. I feel there's such a challenge that exists there and this dichotomy of I need to move forward and this moment. And these moments are good. Like the 1 minute reminder with the watch, I can manage that pretty well. It's the 10 minutes, the 15, 20 minutes that everybody who has started with the 1 minute that I talked to that have moved up to the 20 minutes and I'm still going, I think maybe the 1 or 2 minutes is the most I can do at any given time. I know it's not true. I know I can prioritize things, but I'm not prioritizing this. Why is that when I know it's beneficial to me? Why am I not making that switch in my head?
So it's like I'm talking to myself from a few years ago right now, honestly, because much like you, like I've gotten through a doctorate program, like I'm good at getting things done. So why can't I do 20 minutes of meditation?
Yeah.
And the short answer is our brains are programmed. So your brain has been programmed to run at the speed of light for forever. My brain was programmed that same way. So these are things that you know, we aren't even aware of. You mentioned running on the treadmill and you're just running and running and running and never getting anywhere. That's also brain programming. That's how we have been able to survive to date. That's all that we know. And so having the, even to stop for 1 minute when you're busy and when you are looking at your to-do list or your, you know, this is your day where you respond to everyone in your social media feed. Having the wherewithal to stop, you know, that's actually, it goes against every aspect that we have ingrained within us. And that's why for me, I would think like, why am I wasting my time just doing nothing? Yeah. Right. And yeah, so there's nothing wrong with you for not being able to suddenly stop and do 20 minutes of breathing. And in fact, what I focus on now is helping people who, you know, just like me, just like you, are used to their minds running a million miles a minute and don't know how they can take that time. Because, you know, time is such an important currency, especially in our professions. Mm-hmm. That taking 20 minutes to just breathe, like, it, you know, we could be helping someone. We could be, you know, showing up for family. We could be doing something for other people that has an immediate, tangible result. Whereas if we breathe for 20 minutes, you know, we might notice physiological changes. Like we might notice heart rate slows down. We might notice that we feel more relaxed. We are able to think a little bit more clearly. We're more focused. We might notice all of those physiological benefits, but then we look right back at our phones and the to-do list and mm-hmm. we go right back into that, how am I going to get all of this done? So what I like to help people with is how to find those just mindful moments. So you don't have to do 20 minutes of breath work. If you can do 1 minute of mindful breathing and practice that every single day, you'll start to notice changes. It doesn't require an hour or 20 minutes or even 5 minutes of breathing. You know, we can even take mindfulness into, say, like your daily workout. That's time that you're already dedicating to your body and to your health. And then, you know, how often do we listen to music or read an article on the treadmill or, you know, do something productive while we're working out? And what I'll suggest people do, I do this a lot with my athletes, is, you know, take your warm up and put on noise canceling headphones and just tune into your body. So what we did, you know, in our breath sequence, use your five senses. Notice where your body is in space. What's in contact with your body? So that's touch. What do you hear? You know, there can be sounds within your space. There can be sounds outside of your space. There can be sounds in your head that are telling you, I need to do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, just going through and using each of your five senses in your warm up even. And that's practicing mindfulness.
So when I was just going to say, when I go for a run, which I've been doing lately, is going for a run. And mm-hmm. that is my getaway. That, you know, sometimes it's listening to podcast or audiobooks, rarely music. But sometimes it's just, I'll be listening and I will take out my headphone or I'll turn the music off and just say, I just need nothing to be going on right now and just experience this run and this getaway. And I think that that's why I've actually started running so much. Not only are the gyms closed, but the fact that it has become almost meditative has led me to do running, which I'm not good at. I'm terrible at it. And in the beginning I didn't like it. And now I actually look forward to stepping outside and going for a run. And it's not because of the running, it's because of all the other things that I experience while running.
You're already doing it. You're already doing that. You are. Yeah, and mindfulness, I want to point this out for because I think others will relate to that. Mindfulness okay. is when you take out your headphones and you say, I just need, I can't remember exactly what you said, but basically you take out your headphones and you're like, I just need to have nothing going on right now. That's mindfulness. That's being aware that you need a break. That's being aware of that, that you have the tool to take out the headphone and focus on what's happening right now. We go through our lives trying to always, you know, multitask. When we're in the car, we're listening to podcasts or having conversations or planning our day. You know, back in the days where we commuted, you might look on the freeway and someone's putting on eyeliner or mascara. Like, we're always as humans trying to get multiple things done at once. Mindfulness is simply putting a quick little pause and noticing that we're doing that. Once we okay. notice that we're doing it, then we can make a decision. So the steps that you went through, you're noticing that you need quiet, and then you're yeah. making that decision to take out the headphone and just run. And one reason why I love to talk about mindful movement is, again, like, from how I grew up, it's very hard to just sit still and meditate. I never have meditated correctly, in quotes, in my life, because meditating means that you sit in a, you know, specific position and you don't move and you sit there forever and your mind is clear. I've never once been able to meditate like that because my foot will fall asleep or, you know, a fly will be buzzing by my nose and all of that stuff. Yeah. So mindful movement helps me to practice mindfulness without having to just sit still.
Well, what is that? Because so I have two questions before I ask questions, before okay. we have questions from everybody else. But the question yeah. is really what we started out saying that we wanted to talk about, which was mindful movement. We've been mm-hmm. talking about mindfulness and the benefits regarding productivity and health and wellness, yeah. and this sympathetic nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system, and how we feel and respond and relax. But you mentioned mindful movement. Now, what is that? Is that Tai Chi? Is that me going for a run with that? So like, what is mindful movement? Can you explain that?
Yeah, it's all of those things.
Okay.
It's working out and being fully present in the experience of your workout. So okay. yeah, not trying to, you know, read a book while on the treadmill. It's having, okay. think of it as this, having your brain engaged in what your body is doing.
Okay.
So things that we think of as mindful movement, Tai Chi, we think of Tai yeah. Chi as mindful, yeah. right? We think of yoga as mindful movement. And those are, and taking a walk outside can be mindful movement. Taking a walk in your house can be mindful movement. Going for a bike ride, going for a run, working out, stretching, giving yourself a neck massage, all of those things can be mindful movement.
Okay, good. Because in the mornings, yeah. usually when I wake up before everybody else in the house and it's quiet, that's when I pull out my foam roller and I foam mm-hmm. roll and I don't listen to podcasts at that moment. It's just too early to deal with that stuff. And it's yeah. just me and my foam roller and then me and doing some static stretching first thing in the morning.
So you're already doing it.
Oh, good.
You're already practicing mindfulness in ways that work really well for you. And that's fantastic. Sometimes just knowing that takes the burden off, right?
Yeah. Like, well, now it's I have to figure out how to do one more thing. And that one thing is to pause and sit still. And I know I could do that mm-hmm. in the morning, but I like grabbing it, grabbing the foam roller and just like having the place quiet. And me experiencing that pain and that pressure and that something comforting about what I'm doing in that silence, in that moment. And it's a daily practice for me. It's something that happens daily. I wake up and I get it done. that I love. Now, you know, I'm running on a regular basis too, but I don't necessarily do that every day. But this getting up in the morning and foam rolling and stretching has become, over the last several months of my life, been just this wonderful daily practice that I've put into play.
I love it. So COVID has helped you to create a mindful practice in your morning already. Yeah. And it's just, it's not like we know that, because again, I always thought mindfulness looked this exact specific way. It had to be done, you know,
in the lotus position with my index finger and my thumbs touching. And
yeah, and it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't. So you're already doing it. Great work. And now that you know that that's what you're doing, I think it'll take some pressure off.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. One more question before we open it up to anybody that may be in the chat that's listening. So Greg will pop in a moment, but I wanted to ask, you mentioned that you do this with some special forces. What is this? What mindfulness are you doing with these men and women of our military, and what are their responses to it in general?
So I'm going to tell you a big secret, okay? No one who listens to this can share it. I don't call it mindfulness for them.
Okay.
I don't call it yoga. We've done combat stretching.
Okay.
And we've done, you know, we've done breath work. We do exercises because they respond really well. Again, like you mentioned, you asked everyone to not jump off the podcast just because we were going to breathe for a minute.
Yep.
Very same response. And I love teaching people like that because that's how I used to feel. Yeah. So I can really relate to it. But our special forces, our military, our law enforcement, you know, they're dealing with chronic stress, every single day. My husband's in the military. He's been in the Air Force for 26 years. So I also have, and he was in law enforcement. I also have an idea of what it's like to live with someone who puts their life on the line every single day. So that stress doesn't go away when he walks in our front door. That's constantly there. And so what I do with them is I'll teach them, say, the breathwork exercise that we did just now using the five senses. They have a unique perspective with mindfulness, because if you think of, say, your favorite military movie with Navy SEALs, you know, they're highly trained. They are incredibly strong, both physically and mentally, and they're able to be hyper-focused. So all of those things relate really well into mindfulness. Athletes pick up mindfulness really well because they're used to getting into that zone. You know, many athletes will understand, you know, like the runner's high, the zone when you're out on the baseball field and there's thousands of people screaming and trying to get your attention. And athletes have been able to get into that space where they can know that's all happening, but not let it throw them off. And that is mindfulness.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. And thank you for sharing that with us. Let's reach out to Greg, our producer, and see if we've got any chatter in the chat box.
That's a fun way to put it. There was a question, Mallory, for you in terms of what specifically was that kind of aha moment where you realized you could implement mindfulness in the way you worked out, and how did that connect? Because you said you weren't necessarily somebody that was used to using mindfulness. So what was that aha moment for you?
That's such a great question. And this was not a pretty process. I was very resistant to what was happening with my brain and my body. And so I went so far to the point where I finally was like, I can't go out and run. I can't, you know, go into a downward facing dog right now. Like the nausea and everything was just so bad. So it was like, okay, you know what? I can either just give up completely. And obviously I didn't want to do that. It was that moment of saying, you know what? My life depends on me figuring this out. And so it was like, I will do this for 30 seconds. I will take one breath. I downloaded an app called Headspace. And I thought, if the only thing I can do with my body is breathe, I'm going to do that. And I logged, I think, about 10,000 minutes of meditation in a pretty short time, because that was the only thing that I could do. And then when I, I'm kind of an overachiever, but like, hey, that was it. That was my turning point. Like, my life depends on me figuring this out. My life depends on me being able to change, because I can't go back. And like, this accident happened. I can't change that. All I can change is how I respond. You know, all I can do is go to physical therapy. And so what I found, this was another aha moment, was with the brain injury, I got overstimulated very quickly, very easily. So my physical therapist is located inside of a gym. And if you can, I'm going to talk through. So when I had lost my eyesight in one eye, and everything around me in the world is moving, like I'm holding a dumbbell in my hand, and my arm isn't moving, but my brain, my eyes are telling me that the dumbbell is moving all over the place. I had to minimize all of the external stimuli. So we would often just go into her office, and I had to put all of my energy into just doing, say, a bicep, an arm curl. And so that's how I started to say, you know what? This is actually mindfulness right here in movement. And that's how I was able to say, you know what? If I go for a walk with my dog, that's mindful movement. If it's something where I can just focus on putting one foot in front of the other and not beating myself up that I'm not running, that's mindful movement. So that's what helped me, and you know, Rick, for you, realizing that taking out your headphone to run, like that might have been your aha moment. Not to put words in your mouth, but yeah,
it makes a difference. It does indeed. Thanks for sharing that. I know that that's not a an easy situation, and reliving that and sharing that and providing that vulnerability to me and to those listening is appreciated. So thank you for doing that. Greg, do we have any other questions in the chat?
Yeah, one other question about Mallory, what your favorite mindfulness activity is.
Okay. I think there might be some people who will really like this too. I like to have a mindful minute with coffee or tea.
I'm listening.
Yeah. So what I'll do, again, it's nothing complicated. I'll just bring in my five senses to the experience of my first sip of tea.
Oh, I'm in. 100%.
That's my big secret. Yeah. And there's a, like, if you have a coffee maker or a Keurig or whatever, like it starts as it's being made, and just noticing like how it drips down, how it brews, the smells, what does your body do in response to smelling the coffee beans? Like right away, I'm like, yep, I'm there. Give me some.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm usually with my foam roller and stretching with a cup of coffee. So if I can do my mindful minute before getting into my mindful foam rolling and stretching, I now have a new strategy to implement. So thank you for that one.
I love it. And I'm going to look forward to hearing how that goes for you.
Well, anytime coffee's involved, it usually goes pretty well. So, Mallory Fox, thank you so much for taking time to be with us and sharing mindfulness and your perspective on what mindful movement is, and allowing us, just especially for people like me who find this to be a relatively jagged pill to swallow, even though it's some medicine I know I should take, still a jagged pill to swallow. Knowing that it's not as dogmatic, not as stringent. It's not, you know, the X amount of time in the lotus position with your fingers and your thumbs touching and oming and not letting your mind wander. Like it's okay. And it's okay to let it go and then to gently bring it back to focus on your breath or your movement or your moment or your coffee and just be in the moment. So all of those other things that are attacking from so many places, all the voices in your head, all the emails and all of the responsibilities, that you create a force field, you create a barrier because you're not thinking about what's going to come later. You're not thinking about what you're supposed to be doing. You're thinking about what you are doing and that only. And you just providing that allows for so much clarity and so much simplicity in something that I was concerned about how well I was doing it, how right am I doing it? And you just kind of, you knock down a lot of perceptions that I thought were there that were part of the cause that it limited me from actually doing something. And then realizing in many instances, I'm doing it already, which kind of checks off a box for me, like, oh yay, I'm already successful at this in certain ways that I know that I've been needing to do. And then realizing that in, you know, when I start my day, it's something that I am starting off on already.
Thank you for summing that up so beautifully. And thank you for also trusting me to have this conversation, because I know too, again, a few years ago, like very similar to you, it was like, I know I should be doing this, but I hate it. And how am I going to find time to do one more thing? And you know, there's all of those. So that's what I love to do now, is to, you know, share people. I hope that no one has to go through what I went through to learn how to learn how to bring mindfulness into their life. And for me, being able to share that with others and kind of break down some of those walls, you know, it makes it all, it gives like the pain a purpose. So thank you so much for creating this space so that I could share with you this. And this was just such a fun talk today. Thank you so much, Rick.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Mallory Fox. How can people find you if they want to get in touch with you or learn more about this?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm Dr. Foxy Fit. And every single Monday I post a Mindful Minute. And so funny, because today's Mindful Minute is the coffee exercise. So pop on over. I'll do an Instagram story later where I will walk through, guide through how I like to do a Mindful Minute with my coffee or tea. And every single Monday, I share something new and different. Sometimes it's 30 seconds of mindfulness just to like kind of tip that toe into the water. And my website is befoxyfit.com. I have a blog where I share a lot of mindfulness tips and self-care and Lululemon. So those are the two best ways to find me.
Well, Dr. Mallory Fox, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for this mindful hour that you've shared with us, far beyond the Mindful Minute. For those of you who were very skeptical about listening to this episode and you made it all the way to the end, huge shout out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing it. Thank yourself for it. And then at some point today, this week, at some point in the next, before Sunday, like just do it again. Just try it again. Try it again. One more time. I'd like to know what you think of this as well. And of course, you can reach out to me. Give me your feedback. So shoot me a DM, dr.rickrichey, R-I-C-H-E-Y on Instagram, or you can hit me up on the email, rick.richey@nasm.org, and share with me, and I will share it back to Mallory, what your experience was and if you found this helpful and how you found it helpful. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the NASM CPT Podcast.